Okay, today's Bible reading is from Acts 1, 15 to 26. In those days, Peter stood up among the believers, a group numbering about 120, and said, "Brothers and sisters, the scripture had to be fulfilled in which the Holy Spirit spoke long ago through David concerning Judas, who served as guide for those who arrested Jesus. He was one of our number and shared in our ministry. With the payment he received for his wickedness, Judas bought a field. There he fell headlong. His body burst open and all his intestines spilled out. Everyone in Jerusalem heard about this, so they called that field in their language, Akeldama, that is, field of blood. For, said Peter, it is written in the book of Psalms, may his place be deserted, let there be no one to dwell in it, and may another take his place of leadership. Therefore it is necessary to choose one of the men who have been with us the whole time the Lord Jesus was living among us. Beginning from John's baptism to the time when Jesus was taken up from us, for one of these must become a witness with us of his resurrection." So they nominated two men, Joseph called Barsabbas, also known as Justus, and Matthias. Then he prayed, "Lord, you know everyone's heart. Show us which of these two you have chosen to take over this apostolic ministry, which Judas left to go where he belongs." Then they cast lots, and the lot fell to Matthias, so he was added to the 11 apostles.
Lisa, you had to do some difficult names in there. I must admit, when I was looking at them before, I thought, I wonder how you pronounce that word. So I'm glad that you were able to do that really well. They said at Bible College, just pronounce it with confidence and people will think that you're right. The screen will come up here in just a minute. So last week we started talking about who we are as the Church of Christ. Now, it's really dangerous actually to talk about who we are as the Church of Christ, because nobody can stand up and give an opinion about who we are as the churches of Christ. No one person, no group can speak about what we really believe on our behalf. We each have to come to the scriptures and work out what we are committing to. But I just kind of gave some key themes. First one was we need to have the love of God before we worry about obedience. It's about relationship before obedience. So in the churches of Christ, we're saying it's always about him, never about us. When we make it about us, we go, oh, have I done the right thing? Am I good enough for God? Am I obeying everything? But we say, no, it's all about him. And then as we come into that loving relationship, our obedience follows out of that. Second thing we said is that the word of God is available to every person, and every believer ought to be a person into the Bible, because the Bible guides us about where we're going. And again, no one person gets to decide our understanding of the scriptures. Each one of us has to come before God in our own good conscience. Then we talked about how everybody is equal. In the Church of Christ, we talk about the priesthood of all believers. No man, woman, young, old, Jew, Gentile, rich or poor comes before God in a more important place than any one other one person. Now, as Darren's with us today, Darren stands equal in the face of God, maybe actually more importantly than I as the pastor of the church. In actual fact, the Bible says that the weak are strong and the strong are weak in God, but we come with equality before God. And then it calls us to commitment in Jesus, and that normal way of commitment is through the waters of baptism. And we gave you some resources around that. Now, before I move on, I said to Linda this morning, a little bit dry this morning, so hopefully it's not so dry. But I want to begin with, does anybody have any questions about any of those areas that you kind of went away and you want to raise a question before I move on just for a couple of other points? So either means I was so clear you haven't got a question, or I was so obscure you can't work out anything. Okay. So you wonder why this Bible reading is used in this context, talking about the Church of Christ. Remember last week I talked about Peter, Jesus, I'm doing a little bit of that again. I'm using a Bible verse to make a leap. Next time I preach, when I'm back in after holidays, I'll get back into proper teaching from the Bible. But I'm just using this passage. I thought about what represents the churches of Christ. And we would say we go right back to the beginning of the church. New Testament, Acts. We are a New Testament church. And so there, at the very beginning, as Peter stood there, he said, "For it is written." And it reminds us that as believers, we believe we go first to the scriptures, that God's truth is our primary part of everything that we do. Secondly, he said, so they nominated two men. And I believe that points to the fact that as a body of people, we have wisdom. I keep on saying this in our Bible study. God does not intend us to interpret the Bible individually. The Bible is written to us as a community. Individuals might have specific things they can bring, but it's written to a community, for a community, and a community to interpret the Bible. Thirdly, that they prayed. We always have to seek direction from God and our understanding of the scriptures. The Bible says that God's wisdom is not our wisdom. So we have to be very careful when we interpret the Bible from our own perspective. See, I come from New Zealand, small town in New Zealand. I have a way of thinking about the world that is different to your way of thinking about the world. And I have to be really careful I don't bring my white middle class interpretation into the Word of God. And so we need to keep on seeking direction through prayer. And then fourthly, and I think this is really the most interesting part of this passage, then they cast lots. They pulled out their dice and they went, Trish or John, threw the dice and went, "Trish, I get, you keep on winning. You keep on, does that sound right?" But but it's strange that God would use lots to make a decision. And I think that that says that God guides us in many different ways. That we can't kind of say there's only one pure way in which God guides us. He uses lots of different ways. That was their cultural way of understanding the guidance of God. And so we might, our Indigenous brothers and sisters, have ways of understanding the Word of God that is different than ours, and we need to be open to the different ways. You know, when was the last time somebody got up and said, "I've had a dream," you know, and interpreted a dream like Joseph interpreted? Or when Stephen got up and used poetry to speak about God? We need to interpret God using the different ways that God has given to us. So based on that, I would say, I'm making a statement here, but I think this is true about the churches of Christ. We are a people of the book and the spirit. If you're only into the book, you can get stuck in legalism. If you're only into the spirit, you can be wishy-washy all over the place. We're the book and the spirit, the word of God and the spirit of God guiding us as a people. And I would say the churches of Christ would say we see in the New Testament models that guide us in our community. They are the guide. And particularly around these three very dry topics, or two of them are dry, governance, membership, and communion. So again, I'm speaking not on behalf of the churches of Christ, but talking about the tradition we come from and our understanding, and hopefully that guides us in understanding the word. Now, I just want to deviate just a little bit to talk about how I interpret the Bible, just so that you understand where I'm coming from. I kind of mentioned this before, but when we encourage people to go into the Bible, we are not saying go into the Bible and read anything you like. We're saying the book of the Bible is a particularly written by people in a context, in a situation, to particular people. And therefore, we need to ask the question, what was the writer saying to the original hearers and readers? Think about, most of the early Christians heard the Bible. They didn't read the Bible. What did they hear or read, and how did they understand it? Many of us don't do that phase where we look at the Bible. What was it originally meant to think? And then I ask this question, does the Bible speak with one voice on a theme? Where it doesn't, where there's lots of different voices in the Bible, and this fixes up a lot of the problems that people have with the Bible, okay? Where it talks about different things in different cultures, it is a cultural context. My example would be unclean food. Don't eat prawns and don't eat birds and don't eat certain things in the Old Testament. Whereas in the New Testament, it said specifically to Peter, eat of these things. You know, that the sheep came down from heaven with all the unclean food. So throughout the Bible, there are different views about what is clean and what is unclean. There are different views about leadership, about women. You know, everybody quotes Paul where he says, be silent, do not speak in the church. They don't mention Paul in Romans, who spoke about two women apostles, two women leaders of the church. And they don't talk about Deborah, who was the leader of the Old Testament, a leader in the Old Testament. So there were cultural contexts that were happening at certain times. We think in Corinthians, there was a group of prostitutes who'd come into the church, which was fantastic, but they had a ruly personality and they were just so, said, look, in this particular context, you need to just quieten down a little bit. And so there was a cultural thing. That's my understanding of it anyway. And drinking alcohol. You know, John the Baptist didn't drink alcohol. There were lots of people in the Old Testament and the other times they did. So there are cultural contexts we've got to understand. Now, I'm going to be in trouble over here, maybe. There are some things that I believe there is no difference in opinion throughout the Bible. Now, it's up for you to decide what those things are. I would say helping the poor is one that not many people are going to argue about. From the very early part of the Bible to the end, the poor are the heart of God. And the Bible in James actually says, if you don't feed the poor and the widows, you've lost the whole gospel. So not many people would argue about that. I do believe the Bible says that sex outside of marriage. Now, we can have a debate about what marriage meant in the Old Testament. That's a whole different question. But it seems like the Bible is saying a sexual relationship is within a committed relationship and that there are some guidelines about that. So there seems to be some principle, maybe with some partly cultural things in there. But again, every one of us has to come to a decision about those things. Now, I think there are three things that we, the churches of Christ, say are common practices that bind us. Church governance, church membership, and the Lord's Supper. Now, remember what I said last week. This is some of our quotes from the history of our church. We have no creed but Christ, no book but the Bible, no law but love, no name but divine. These quotes kind of talking about we are guided by the Bible, but as a people we need to gather to hear the voice of God. So therefore, and hopefully I'm interpreting Churches of Christ appropriately, when we come to church governance, we would say we are led, the church is governed by those elected. So we have an election every year for a fixed term, normally 3 years, I think it is, by a body of believers who prayerfully seek divine guidance to elect those who are gifted and spiritually qualified. In the Churches of Christ, we say we should have a democracy to hear the voice of God. It's not a democracy to appoint leaders. It's a democracy to hear what God is saying and who God has appointed and to place them in leadership positions. Now, Anglicans would say there are bishops. Catholics would say there are bishops. We don't see bishops. We believe bishops, the word used for bishop is the same word as elder. And we would say we are led normally by elders, meaning those responsible to lead us. If you're not a member of our church, you don't get to vote. So I would say you should be a member of our church so that you're part of the community making decisions. Now, one of the unique things about Churches of Christ is if you decide next week you don't want me as the pastor, you get to vote me out. You can call an extraordinary meeting. So the power sits with the body, not with this person who happens to be standing at the front. And I think that's a wonderful thing. So that's kind of our governance. We would say, therefore, our membership is open to all those who declare that they are followers of Jesus. We simply welcome you into membership. Now, remember what we said last week. Every church is part of the worldwide church. We are the little seed churches of Christ. We're one of the churches. Every Christian is a member of the church. And we welcome people into membership in this local church. Can you get that? We don't make you a member of the church. You are one, but you're welcomed into membership within this local fellowship. And so it's up to you to say whether you are a follower of Jesus. We don't have a creed that says you have to believe this, 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 and this. Now, I don't always like that, because there are people in the church who I am pretty sure are not Christians. That's not up to me to decide whether I like that or not. I have said that to people before. Given what you have told me, I do not believe that you are a follower of Jesus. But it's between you and God. And I say that, if I ever say that to somebody, I'm saying it very, very carefully, because it's not me who makes that decision. Okay? But we accept into membership anybody who chooses. Now, we say you have to have decided to follow Jesus. And it was part of the verse of one of the songs that we sung. You know, I've decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Now, we would say it's open to everybody. This is our constitution. Membership of the church is available to all who openly confess their faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Saviour and who commit to regularly attending. So there's a commitment to Jesus. There's also a commitment to the organisation. That is secondary but still important if you're part of a community. Now, we also say we recommend that all follow Bible's teaching and follow Christ in the waters of believers' baptism. Okay. Now, interestingly enough, to be on our board, you have to be baptised. You can be a member, having not been baptised, because it's you, but we say you, to be on the board or a leadership position, you need to have been baptised. That is our understanding in our local community on how the body of Christ should work. If you go to another Churches of Christ, they may have a different opinion about that. Now let me, and I'm not having a go at anybody here, my personal opinion is different to that. But I've been brought into, and I agree with, and I submit to that as the way in which we work, because it's not about my theological understanding, it's about our theological understanding of what God. And I guarantee nobody will ever agree. You get three people in a room and you get four opinions. Three Jews, you get five opinions, but for us, it's probably four. But, you know, we're not going to agree on everything. But we believe, remember again, I just go back to my little, an essentials unity and non-essentials liberty and all things charity. We accept we will disagree about things. And lastly, communion. Communion is something, and I'm beautifully, Beth just talking about the remembrance of what God has done. Read the Old Testament, and they put stones to remember what God had done. They built altars to say, let's remember what God has done. And communion is our time of remembering the acts of Jesus. And we, I think, as I said last week, are one of the few churches that do it every time we gather. Catholics and Church of Christ both do that. So it's funny. Catholics and us completely disagree about leadership. Popes and bishops and archbishops and everything. But this upon which we do agree that we should have communion every time we gather. So it's interesting. Even within the body of Christ, we disagree about one thing and agree about another thing. But it's up to you to understand where God is saying to you. So I didn't want to take very long to do that, but I did think it's important just to speak about where we are, who we are in the evolvingness of who we are as a body of Christ. So does anybody have any questions about any of that? It's a bit unusual, but or anything that people would go, oh, I really don't like what you've...
Yeah,
Yes, it's a very good point. John, there we go. I think he did a Google search, frankly. And it just, yeah. Now, let me point out, this brings up a really good point. We live in a particular context. When you run an organisation, you've got to have a constitution. A pure Church of Christ would not have a constitution because we don't really believe in those things. Okay? But within the culture of today, that is one of our obligations to do that. So it's about understanding who we are as the body of Christ within the culture of the day. So I think that's a really, which means it can be changed at any time with, I think, 3/4 of the church voting or something rather like that. Yeah. Any other, it's a good question. Any other questions or thoughts about what does it mean to be churches of Christ, who we are? Why do we have full immersion? Somebody like me would say, so I think about, this is one of the few bits of Greek that I know. I don't know much Greek, I'm not very good at that. Well, one of the things I do know about, whenever it says to, when you believe, there's two parts to believe, that the act of belief and the body that follows through with it. In the New Testament, there was always that I articulate, I believe in Jesus. And in nearly every verse of believing, it says, and they went and got baptized. Or when it says in Acts, he says, how shall I believe? Peter specifically says, believe and be baptized. So in the Church of Christ, we say those two things make up belief. You speak with your voice and you do something with your body which symbolises and publicly declares. Now, it doesn't mean somebody has to be baptised to be a Christian. I'm going to give a personal opinion and a church opinion about this one, okay? No, I'll just give my personal opinion. I believe if you understand what the Bible teaches about baptism and choose not to get baptised in however you believe it, so if you happen to read the Bible and say, I believe babies can be baptised, then you ought to have been baptised as a baby. I think, really, it's pretty hard to argue it shouldn't be believer's baptism. So I would have a problem with somebody who said, I believe the Bible says be baptised as a believer and doesn't follow through with that. I think they haven't got to the point of committing themselves to Jesus. But that's up to God to decide. Okay, we've got to be really careful, yeah. Immersion, yeah. The word baptism in Greek means to go under the water and come up. So every time the word is used, and the Greek Orthodox, who are the tradition that is most connected to the New Testament, only baptise under the water. They baptise children, interestingly, but baptise them under the water because they be baptismo means go. If you go to Greek and go to a swimming pool, it'll say no baptismo, no going under the water. That's what these mean, okay? And I would say, other than one verse, which might give another way of doing it, it seems like it was the only way they did it for the first couple of hundred years. So, and it seems to say, Paul talks about what does it mean to die with Christ and to be raised with Christ, and I think believer's baptism, or full immersion baptism, most illustrates that. So I personally believe you should just take the simple view of what the Bible teaches without getting too complicated. Yeah.
Just on the same thing, it used to be that you couldn't take communion, you couldn't do anything unless you were baptized. Is that still the same?
No, not that I know. I don't think that's... Has that ever been true within the Churches of Christ? Where you had to have been baptized to be able to have communion. Was that every part of it?
Yeah,
okay. Even within the Churches of Christ? Yes. Yeah. So again, you see how things have... I mean, it used to be, well, it still is actually, in the Catholic Church, if you're not baptised in the Catholic Church, you shouldn't take communion. I still do. I sneak in and do it, but I'm not meant to.
If you get baptised, become a member, and then take communion.
Yeah, yeah. Most Christians, most ministers that I know who talk about these things would say, the Bible just says whenever we gather to take communion, that is normally part of a proper meal. It's not normally something like this. As part of a proper meal, they had bread and they had wine. And they said, as part of that normal community meal, let's remember what Jesus gave them. They just took the loaf of bread and they broke it, and they took the wine they were drinking and drank it. So within that context, whoever was part of that community was welcome to do it. Now, I would say the one warning in the Bible is if you've got sin in your life and you don't deal with it, the Bible says you have to be careful when you take communion because you may bring out like a curse. Now, it doesn't talk about that very often, but it does say when you don't follow through with what you believe to be true, there are consequences to your life. Again, it's not somebody else putting it upon you. It's you and your relationship with God. Did that kind of answer what... Take communion, yeah. I would say if somebody, I sometimes say, if you're a committed follower of Jesus, then you're welcome to join in. So it's, yeah. And I think it's one of the things the church is doing better in that as the churches across the denominations, we've been more inclusive and more broadening of that particular thing. Yeah, so it's beautiful. Yeah. I don't think we make enough of it sometimes. Sometimes it's just another thing we do. But yeah, good. Any other questions or... No, so, okay, so let's just keep on growing, keep on learning together. And if you've got questions, please ask them because it's about you getting committed to what God is saying to you. So let me pray before these guys lead us. We've got... How cool is this? This is...
He washed his guitar
and he's very excited about it. So let's just pray together. Lord God, we thank you that we are on a journey together as a community. We thank you that you love us in an amazing way, and that you call us to reveal your love to the world. So help us love one another and help us love the community in which we live, that they too may commit themselves to following Jesus. Amen.